eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, and I have a very special guest with me, April Zlatnik, who has been a foster youth from the ages of 13 to 18, and she's being very vulnerable today, really sharing her life story for the purpose of inspiring our listeners to really understand, to tap into the compassion of God. But our hope, though, is that we don't stop there, that your compassion will lead you to action. And there's all kinds of things you can do. You know, if you're listening and hearing about her story and some of the separation, some of the, as her own words she's used, the terrifying things that she's been through, if that's touching your heart, I just want to stop right now and give you a few ways that you can help. One, of course, you probably figured this out by now, but you could be a foster or adoptive parent. The amazing thing is that for children waiting for adopted, we do offer free adoption, free college, free insurance, and of course, a tremendous amount of support. Now, that all that is also available for foster care, but I think most people know about that. And we have children waiting right now, children who have been through similar circumstances as April, who are hoping and praying and wishing for a family. Our next training is July 10th and 17th. And so we're looking for families, people to come. Even if you're like, I don't know, I do have it on my heart, but I'm not sure. Well, you don't have to have a commitment to go through the training. You can also call our office at 512-233-6464 and talk to one of our staff to really get some of your personal questions answered. And I'm always happy to hear from you as well. But we hope today that you're compassion is touched, but the next thing we really want is for you to take action. A couple of other things you can do is to be a mentor to foster children, which is very, very important. And then you can also volunteer. We have a fundraising committee so we can do great things for kids. So I just want to throw that out there. If you're thinking, oh, this touches my heart, guess what? Help some of these children who are in the situation now that April was in years ago. So April, let's get back to your story. So your little sister went with her dad, which was heartbreaking, but then also a relief because you did believe she'd be cared for. You went to your aunt, and then your brother with cerebral palsy in a wheelchair went with a foster mom named Molly. But you didn't end up staying with your aunt for very long. What happened?
I think my aunt had never been a parent before, and she just, after 3 months, she came to me and said, you know, I just don't think I can handle being a parent. It's not you, it's me. So you're actually going to go live with Molly, which was a huge answer to prayer at the time. And it ended up being a prophecy in my life fulfilled.
And share with us how that was.
Which part? The moving in with Molly part?
Uh-huh. And how that ended up being a prophecy to you.
Oh, okay. Well, when I was seven, I'll start with the prophecy. When I was seven, we were driving down the road to my great-grandpa's house, and at the end of this road was a barn and a horse pasture, and you turn right onto this dirt road, and there's this power station on the left and then my great-grandparents' house, and they were the only house on that side of the street. But one time when I was seven, I told my mom, I really want to live in this neighborhood one day, and she said, no, you don't. And she gave a really opinionated response that surprised me. And I just kind of brushed it off and said, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because the day that I went to go visit my brother, and this was just a couple months before I moved in, we drove down that same road, turned right on that dirt road, and just before the power plant, turned left up to a house that had been there for about 5 years. So it had actually been built the year after I told my mom I wanted to live in that neighborhood.
Wow. And it was a small neighborhood, too. So that's a big deal. So there you were. And when you started going down that road, you're like, I recognize this street and from when you were seven.
Mm-hmm. And it was neat because there are the only two houses on that side of the road.
Wow. Wow. So God took note. And and he worked it out. Now, was Molly, was she a Christian woman?
She was, yes.
I wondered because I thought, you know, I bet she was because you've had that the importance of the Lord in your life. So your aunt said that to you, and I thought, really, you probably were the best teenager ever. You came, and you were self-sufficient, which unfortunately you had to be. You were kind. The worst thing about you probably is that you're missing your siblings, and that's a good thing. So that aunt clearly wasn't meant to be your parent, and so you were very relieved when you ended up with Molly. Do you remember when you walked in and that was going to be your home?
It actually happened a little differently than that. My caseworker dropped me off with my black garbage bag full of stuff, and Molly came and picked me up, and we went out and had some pizza together as a family to kind of break the ice. But
okay, so that was your first. That was okay. So usually you're supposed to take them to the home, help them get situated. That's what we do at Family Link. But you and your trash bag of stuff met her, had pizza, and then she took you home. But the good news is you went home. Was your brother, do you remember, was he so excited?
Yeah, he was. I think he was glad to have me nearby because I was familiar. And I had always taken care of him, and he knew me, and I knew him. And I think just being with my brother made so much of a difference. I mean, when I was apart from him when we first moved into our different homes, that was actually over Christmas. And so even though I got to see them briefly, I just remember feeling really lonely and scared and alone and all these different feelings, and then worrying about my siblings, even though they were in good homes, I still felt like I was responsible for them.
Right, right. Well, and that's because you loved them so much and you had been responsible for them. And then if you can't see how they're doing, it's hard to believe that they're okay. And that's one of the things about keeping siblings together. It's just when you separate, it causes so much more trauma. And so if we can, clearly children who need a home have already been traumatized. So if they've already been traumatized, then let's not traumatize them further and separate siblings. And that's something that's just one of my missions in life is to keep, of course, find children homes. But then the secondary is to keep siblings together that would otherwise be separated. And so I'm so glad you at least got with your brother for you and for him. And so what was it like? What was different in Molly's home than any other home that you'd been in?
It was like walking on the beach the very first time. I mean, you just get, it was just like a breath of fresh air. I mean, she's warm. She made me comfortable instantly. She would hug me and listen to me. And I just remember one of my favorite memories is we would sit in the hallway and just roll a tennis ball back and forth to each other, just kind of in a form of play, and talk to each other while we did it. And we'd laugh, and I'd share with her some of my stories, and she would listen and affirm me. And it was just, it was amazing. I felt like I had an adult who really cared about me and really could be my friend as much as a parent.
Wow, because your picture of a parent was so awful. So it's just your picture of a parent was an untrustworthy person who many times would hurt you, and even worse, out of the blue, like you said, that, and you just didn't know who you were going to be dealing with. And so to find out that an adult could be your parent and actually laugh with you and love you and listen to you probably was like huge. Must have been, like you said, a walk on the beach. Amazing.
What a
relief. Now, were there other children in the home? What was the order of your life like?
Well, Molly had waited until her 40s before she decided she was ready to be a parent. And she actually had gotten certified to do special needs. So there was another woman who was 26, and she had some special needs as well, who was in the home, just kind of getting ready to transition into independent living. And then there was my brother, and she also had adopted a little girl from birth named Mariah, actually, who was 6 months old when I moved in. And so that was kind of our family life. And she worked full-time for the state in the food stamp program. And I don't know how she did it. She was a single parent of four with two, like, having disabilities, one being a teenager who was traumatized from abuse, and one a brand-new infant. And she's just amazing. And then she worked full-time, and she still had time to go to Costco and get us food. And And I know that one thing that really helped is she had already established for herself an amazing support community.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was an older guy named Oliver who would come to the house multiple times a week. I don't know how many times, but he was an elderly gentleman in his 70s or 80s. And he would just come and sometimes make dinner for us, and he would teach me how to cook. And I remember the very first thing I ever learned how to cook with him was meatloaf.
And what kid doesn't like meatloaf? Between the ketchup and the meat, it's very tasty. I'm sure you loved it. So you had gone from almost no attention and no care, and so to just the fact that Molly cared for you and then had some of her friends, like this elderly gentleman, spend time with you and cook with you. You must have just been soaking that up and appreciating it much more than the average kid, because, you know, most of our kids are used to it. And, you know, oh yeah, so-and-so wants to talk to me, I'm going to go out to eat. It's not that big of a deal. But for you, probably a lot of these things were your first time for many things. Is that right?
Yeah. And it, you know, for years and years and years, and even till today, it's like every little thing is so special. You don't take it for granted.
Wow. Tell us some other firsts. What are some other things that you remember being there that you don't remember getting to do in your previous life?
Well, she had a basketball hoop, and I remember we would go out together and shoot hoops, and she'd be in her heels.
like coming home from work?
Yeah, and so I learned that you can shoot hoops in heels.
That's a new one. Yes.
We had a German Shepherd named Lad, and that was my first dog.
Aww. And did you fall in love with him?
Definitely won my heart.
Yes. I bet German Shepherds are known to be loyal. Did you and he really attach?
Oh, absolutely. There were nights that I would be terrified and couldn't fall asleep. I mean, it's kind of funny. I used to have this phobia of aliens, but I know that it was related to that feeling of powerlessness that I had as a kid through all that happened. And so there are nights I would be terrified to fall asleep because of that feeling of helplessness. And I know that the Lord had Lad there for those reasons. And he would just come and he would lay either right on the bed or right next to the bed until I fell asleep.
Aww.
And that was month after month at times. Like, he was always there for me when I needed him.
And so you would just look at him and go, well, if aliens do try to come and get me, he will probably bark and scare them away.
Yeah. I thought he was going to save me.
Yes. Well, and that's just it. You know, sometimes fears can feel so real. It doesn't even matter that they're not real, because they feel really real. And your life had been so chaotic already that it's hard to know. It's really hard to understand, isn't it? What is real, what isn't, what's going to happen to me, and what's not. But the great news is that you've made it through in an amazing way. This is Life Matters on the Word 98.5 and 99.3. Email me at mariah@familylinkkids.com. We're so glad to have April on as our guest. We've had an amazing time. And we'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.